This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. Our guest this morning is Dr. Tobias Wasser. He is the chair of psychiatry at the Frank H. Netter MD School of Medicine at Quinnipiac University, and at Hartford Healthcare St. Vincent's Medical Center Behavioral Health. We're going to be talking this morning about daylight saving time and what you need to know about all of the changes and your mental health. Good morning, Dr. Wasser. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm happy to have you here. You know, this is something that we go through annually, and people still have a hard time adjusting to it when it happens, even though it's nothing new. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when someone says daylight saving time to you, and it's that time of year?
Well, so I think it really depends on which daylight saving time we're talking about. So in the fall, obviously the time falls back, and when that occurs, typically it ends up leading over time to people's experience is less waking hours. We set our clock so that the sun rises earlier, but it sets earlier. As a result of that, it tends to lead people to experience lower moods. We see greater degrees of depression and concerns in that regard when people have less exposure to sunlight. And so during the winter time, rates of that tend to spike. Whereas in the springtime, when we spring forward our clocks, we tend to experience greater amounts of daylight later into the day. But at the same time, that causes a different cascade of potential mental health challenges. So either way, there can be difficulties for individuals as much as we sometimes look forward to these events.
And what about changes with sleep patterns, too? Because that can throw somebody off. And obviously, a good night's rest or a bad night's rest is going to alter somebody's mood and mental health.
Yeah, so as you said, sleep is so fundamental to our overall health and in particular our mental health. So any significant disruptions in our sleep patterns or our sleep behaviors can really throw us off. I think we all know the difference between when we have a really good restful night of sleep and how we feel the next day versus when we burn the candle at both ends and try to keep going. So daylight savings becomes a structural time in our society and at least certain time zones when we introduce a change to all of our sleep patterns. And so for some, it can be very disruptive.
What can people do to better prepare for these moments? Now, I know that the change in this case has already happened. However, what I would say is, you know, is there something that someone could tuck in their mind and remember for the next time there's going to be one of these disruptions and how they can adjust?
Yeah, so I think like anything in our lives, when we have a sharp and sudden change, it has much more of an impact than when we have a gradual change and we build up to it. So I think many people, depending on which daylight savings we're talking about and what your particular lifestyle needs are, may sometimes really look forward to or dread the 1 hour sudden shift because it means more sleep, less sleep, the impact on your children, all these sorts of things. But the more that we can gradually build up to it, so for example, instead of changing your routine by an hour suddenly one day, if you can build 5, 10, 15 minute increments in the several days leading up to daylight savings, not literally changing the time on your clock, of course, but adjusting the time that you go to sleep and adjusting the time that you wake up slowly, it'll help your body to more naturally respond to it, so it won't feel like such a sudden shock to the system when that change actually occurs.
What about people who work odd shifts, right? So, you know, we have our folks out there in the listening audience who work the Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. But, you know, for a time, for example, I worked, Dr. Wasser, on overnights, and it was always a weird change whenever you had something like that, if you're working an off shift. Any recommendations for somebody on that particular world and their mental health with these kinds of changes?
Yeah, well, I think it's really important to point that out. As you're saying, there is a large contingent of individuals in our society who work odd hours, overnight shifts, those sorts of things, so that the rest of society can function. And I think for those individuals, already their sleep cycle, what we call your circadian rhythms, can be significantly impacted by having such an unusual and unnatural sleep cycle. So they are particularly vulnerable to these sorts of shifts. So again, I would say as much as possible, try to maintain your normal routines. I wouldn't drastically change when you wake, when you go to bed. I would not use excessive awakening substances. So caffeine, for example, either in the form of coffee or there's so many energy drinks now. I think a lot of times people will use those in excess in general, but in particular around these drastic time changes to try to help them account for it. And I think as much as that's appealing, I wouldn't give in to that temptation, because it will not only further risk your own mental health, it can cause anxiety, it can cause heart palpitations. There are all sorts of reasons that we have to be careful. So I would say as much as possible, as I said earlier, try to be gradual in the change, but then also respond to your body. If your body needs sleep, find time to rest during the day. Try to prepare others in your life for the fact that you may need more time than usual to adapt to the time change.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. This is Face Connecticut. If you're just joining us, we're on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. My guest is Dr. Wasser. He is the chair of psychiatry at the Frank H. Netter MD School of Medicine at Quinnipiac University. And at Hartford Healthcare, St. Vincent's Medical Center, Behavioral Health. You touched on this, Doctor, at the beginning of our conversation, and I want to focus on it and dig into this a little bit more, the whole aspect of depression and seasonal depression that comes with these changes with daylight saving in the spring and in the fall. Generally speaking, what are somebody's symptoms if they're going through this difficult change because of the time change?
So, you know, in general, we talk about depression, and I think people are more familiar with mental health in general, particularly following the COVID-19 pandemic. So the symptoms of depression involve someone having a severely depressed mood, not wanting to get out of bed, a lack of interest in their daily activities or usually enjoyable activities. They may feel hopeless. They may have excessive guilt or worries. And in really severe cases, they may even have thoughts that life is not worth living and may be contemplating ending their life. In what you're describing as seasonal depression, and the formal term for it is seasonal affective disorder, it's been identified in the scientific literature that there is a subset of individuals who are much more greatly impacted by the seasonal changes than others. And so for those individuals, they may begin to experience those depressive symptoms I just described much more as we get into the late fall and early winter. And their symptoms improve significantly as we get into the spring and summer and we have more daylight. So for those individuals in particular, this time of year can always be difficult. And actually, as we look at the future of the upcoming time change, this begins to mark for them when they can hope to feel better. But because the winter is so difficult, it's a time we really have to pay attention, and we have to be thoughtful about how are we providing them support, care, and proven treatments that we know can be effective.
Is now the time for somebody in that category to say, okay, this is the, for lack of a better term, this is the good time of the year, right, where you're not necessarily feeling the impacts of it, but you know that it will be coming again in the fall. So is this an opportunity now for somebody to say, we should start looking into this and thinking about how to go through treatment for it? And what does that treatment look like? Or is it better to deal with it when it happens in the fall?
I think it's always better to be proactive. Unfortunately, for many of us in our society, when we're busy and have so many other constraints, responsibilities, stresses, it's often hard to get people to be proactive. But the more proactive you can be, the better, and the more likely you are to help reduce the risk of having that kind of really difficult experience come next winter. So there are several potential treatments and options for individuals who are experiencing these symptoms. So one form of treatment that people are likely familiar with is psychotherapy. So that's, there are many different kinds of therapy that people can engage with, but essentially it's a talk therapy where you speak to a licensed professional who helps you manage your symptoms and think through coping strategies. There are certainly medications that individuals can take, antidepressant medicines that can be helpful with these symptoms. For most individuals with depression, they take these medicines year-round, but for some, who have specifically this seasonal affective component to their illness, sometimes they only have to take them from the months of October to April, and from May to September, they can take a medication holiday, which can be helpful if they do. Sometimes these medicines have side effects that can be somewhat unpleasant, and so taking a break can be helpful. The final piece is, for this seasonal depression in particular, there's actually a good body of literature that demonstrates that something called bright light therapy can be very helpful. And this is actually a specific, it's not just turning on the lights in your home, but there are specific light devices that emit lights at specific UV ray determinations. And those used several times a day throughout the winter months can be very helpful in treating seasonal depression. And for those who don't wish to take medication, it's an alternative treatment that can be prescribed by a physician.
As for those bright lights, that's interesting. Is that something that somebody can have at home, or do you have to go to a doctor's or a healthcare facility to receive that?
You can have one at home. So, you know, there are certainly, if you look on Amazon or any other search engine, you can try to find them yourself. But I would recommend, if you're interested in having one for home, that you do see a licensed healthcare professional, talk to them. They can help ensure that they prescribe the right type of light therapy for you, because, you know, there's so many things on the internet that purport to be something and then turn out to not be exactly what they've said. So you want to make sure that you're receiving the correct treatment, but it's a light that you set up in your home. People often will put it on their desk so that when they wake up in the morning and they're having a cup of coffee, or in the evening if they're doing work or while they're watching TV, they have it on for dedicated periods of time. But it's not something you have to go somewhere to receive. It's not a, like a tanning bed, for example. It's a device that is prescribed to you, but you purchase and then can keep in your home.
Very interesting. I'm Morgan Cunningham. This is Face Connecticut. We're having a conversation this morning about daylight saving time. My guest is Dr. Wasser, Chair of Psychiatry at the Frank H. Netter, MD, School of Medicine at Quinnipiac University, also at Hartford Healthcare, St. Vincent's Medical Center, Behavioral Health. Now, what I wanted to bring up next is mental health and the stigma around it. Now, this is obviously broad. We're talking specifically in relation to daylight saving time, but I'm sure that there are people out there who feel perhaps embarrassed that they may struggle with this, and I know that there are a lot of mental health practitioners out there who are trying to break that stigma. Could you talk about that a little bit more?
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Yeah, you know, I think unfortunately in our society, we, as much as we talk about trying to, we don't yet treat mental health the same way we treat physical health. I think nobody would be ashamed or embarrassed to say that they have high blood pressure and that they had to go to the doctor to receive medication for their high blood pressure. Unfortunately, I think there are some individuals in our society who still feel embarrassed about the idea of admitting that they went to see a therapist or a psychiatrist or some other healthcare professional to receive care for anxiety, depression, things of that nature. And while we've seen enormous strides in the aftermath of COVID, because I do think one of the good things is that people, unfortunately, COVID had enormously detrimental impacts on people's mental health, but because of the significant widespread impact, it unlocked and unleashed people's willingness to talk about it. And I think a willingness to speak about it and to have, whether it's celebrities or other individuals willing to come forward and talk about their challenges, has made individuals feel more comfortable. And it's, we've started to make small strides forward in health equity and particularly for mental health.
Dr. Wasser, what else should people know about this time change, maybe in relation to driving and vehicles?
That's a great question. So I think when it comes to driving and vehicles, ensuring that we're safe, given that, as we talked about, sleep being so fundamental, that if people's sleep is altered, potentially they may be more fatigued, and we've all had the experience that when you're tired and you're driving for a long period of time, suddenly you find yourself dozing off, your eyes closing, you don't remember some portion of your drive, and you're just concerned about that. So I would say I would be very mindful about how your own level of fatigue and whether you really can engage in the same driving routine that you usually do. And maybe I certainly wouldn't plan any long trips during this period of time. And I would just try to be conscientious and safe.
Definitely.
The other thing.
Go on.
Oh, I'm sorry. The only thing I was going to say that we haven't talked much about is we talked a lot about the winter time and the difficulties that people with depression may have. There is another phenomenon that we see in the spring with the change in daylight savings, which is that for some individuals who have more complex mental health conditions, for example, something called bipolar disorder, we can actually see an uptick in anxiety as well as they're feeling more agitated or upset with the springtime. And so I think just to be mindful of those in your family and others, that if you start to see unusual behavior, people who are not just having one or two nights difficulty sleeping because of the time change, but persistent ongoing difficulty sleeping, if they seem to be speaking quickly, thinking quickly, or acting in unusual ways, those are signs of something serious going on, and it would be important to get them to a local healthcare provider right away.
There are many people who follow the news, Dr. Wasser, and you would probably agree with me and others that that can drive you absolutely mad if you really pay too much attention to it, and I work in it. But what I want to draw to your attention to specifically is all of the talk in recent years about whether or not to get rid of daylight saving time. And it's come up again at the federal level. It was a big topic a few years ago. And this has been a concern for many listeners that we've been hearing from at WTIC Radio. Could you talk a little bit about the news cycle and the wear and tear it could have on somebody's mental health, maybe in relation to this?
So certainly I would say, I think the news for many has become almost addictive as a drug, as an exogenous substance that you put into your body. I think the highs and lows that people feel in terms of getting excited, getting activated, or feeling down, depressed, discouraged, the way that the news stimulates your mind, your thoughts, your feelings can be similar in terms of the effect it has on your brain and the part of your brain, the reward center, which is controlled by a chemical in the brain called dopamine. And so I think for many folks who, you know, are really organized their lives around the news, something that once was a way of communicating information has become so all-consuming that it can actually have detrimental effects on your mental health. I think in particular, as it comes to daylight savings, you know, it's hard to know, you know, without getting into political determinations, it's hard to know what the ultimate benefits or drawbacks would be, whether we continue with this or not. What I would advise as much as possible in general is that for individuals who are very interested in the news and find that it's having a negative effect on their mental health, I would try very hard to create structured, scheduled breaks in your day where you separate from that, whether you put away your phone, you turn off the notifications, whatever it might be. I think the continuous access to information is more than our brains were ever intended to absorb. And I think as it's particular to the issue of daylight savings, as much as possible, I think when we can give up a sense of control over the things we have no control over, except that there will always be things in life we cannot manage and we cannot decide, and we have to learn to adapt to them rather than be angry that they're not the way we want, the more quickly people's mental health can begin to improve.
Doctor, as kind of a final thought here that I have, are there any particular questions or concerns maybe that people have regarding mental health and the time change that we really haven't answered or figured out yet? I'm talking about maybe biological changes in the brain, chemical changes in the brain, anything like that?
I think the only thing that we touched on a little bit is that there, you know, in the brain, we have a specific gland. It's called the pineal gland. And that's the gland that's really responsible for regulating our sleep and our sleep cycles and what we call our circadian rhythms. So that pineal gland and the hormones that it secretes to your brain and the rest of your body are really closely influenced by the amount of sunlight and the exposure to sunlight that you have. So again, one of the benefits typically of this time of year is that we get more daylight, and the more daylight we have, the better we feel. It also increases our vitamin D levels, which are also helpful for your bone health, your overall health, and your mood. So the more you can spend time outside, the better. As it gets warmer, of course, we use sunscreen and things to protect our skin. But when we get to that fall change, it's more important than ever that people find a way to get outside and get some exposure to the sun, even if it's cold, even if you have to bundle up, because the most significant negative detrimental impacts on our health are when we stay inside all day and our only exposure to light is artificial light rather than natural light.
Doctor, you have been a big help in helping us understand this a little bit more and dig deeper. Is there anything else you'd like to mention or go over before we wrap up?
Not that I can think of.
All right. Thank you very much for coming on this morning. Again, Dr. Wasser, Chair of Psychiatry at the Frank H. Netter MD School of Medicine at Quinnipiac University. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.